So as parents, Chelsea and I really enjoy watching our kids do what they love. I think that's common among parents. And thankfully, our kids love a lot of things that we understand right now. That they love baseball. I can go to a baseball game and know what's going on. They love football. I can go to a football game and know what's going on. That's fun for me. But recently, in the last couple of years, they've picked up a couple of new things that are foreign to us, one of them being cross-country. Now, probably know this by looking. I mean, I never ran cross-country. It was never my thing. I'm not fast. I'm actually pretty slow. And so we took a minute to sort of figure out how cross-country works and how the meets are scored and what's going on. And as we've learned a little bit more about it, it's gotten more and more fun for us to engage in. So the first meet of this season, my son's there. He's on the starting line, and the guy like fires the gun, and all the runners take off, and all the parents cheer for about 10 seconds, and then we don't see the kids anymore, right? It's like an over the river, through the woods kind of thing. It's around the school, across the parking lot, behind it. We don't see them anymore until they're getting close to the finish line, right? So they're off doing their thing on a 2-mile race, and then we start to see the runners coming into view, you know, pretty far away. And I don't see my son in the first couple, and he maybe appears, he's like eighth or ninth in the race as we start to see them coming down the final stretch. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, why are you running so slow? Like, I didn't tell him that, but that's what I was thinking. Like, you're faster than that, dude. What are you doing? And he was just coasting. He was just coasting along, doing his thing. And then when he got within 200 yards of the finish line, like a switch flipped in him. And he takes off at this dead sprint, and he's fast, right? He's literally running twice as fast as every other kid in the race at this point. And he passed like 7 or 8 of them in the final 200 yards and took second place. When he turned it on and really started running, there were noticeable gasps from all the parents around the finish line. Like, everybody, hey, look at that kid. What is going on here? And as he passes the final couple of kids right at the finish line, there's excitement, there's energy, there's people yelling and cheering. And as we walked away from the finish line, there's people that didn't go to his school, didn't know him. They were all talking about that one kid that ran hard to the finish line. Listen, running hard, right, finishing a race like that, it gets people excited and it fires them up. So get that imagery in your head, right? A race, the home stretch, the crowds going wild for people as they cross the finish line. Get it in your mind and know that's what God's called you to live like. Right, God has called you to a race, right? He's called you to run it just like that. We aren't meant to coast through this life. We are meant to run. If you've got your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to wrap up our series on faith this morning. And as we do, you're going to see very clearly that God has called you to run this race of faith all the way to the finish line. No coasting, right? None of us are called to coast. We are called to run. In fact, if you're taking notes this morning, that's our title, Run the Race. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's point one if you're taking notes, and this is the only point of our text this morning. Everything else is application that flows from here. Point one, by faith, run the race. And just to be clear, the race that we're talking about, it's the Christian life. Our writer is using a metaphor that would have been very easily understood by his audience. Athletic events, games, races, wildly popular in the first century. The crowds would gather, the athletes would take their place, and they'd run with a stadium, sometimes a massive stadium, cheering them on. If you've been to that part of the world, if you've been to the Middle East, or if you've been to Greece, or to Turkey, or even to Italy, you've seen some of these stadiums, because it's some of the biggest ruins that you can still tour today. And I'm not just talking about the Colosseum in Rome. You see stadiums all over that part of the world. The race is an analogy that these believers in the first century, they would have understood it. There's a clear start. There's a clear course, right, a track that everybody's going to run. There's a clear finish line, And there's crowds, right, cheering on the athletes, calling them to move forward in the race, just like our Christian lives, right? There's a clear start to our Christian life. It's the moment that we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. None of us in here are Christians because our parents are Christians. None of us are Christians because we grew up in a church. Not at all. No, we are followers of Jesus. We are Christians because we place our faith and our trust in Him alone for our salvation. Right? So by faith, we trust in Christ. That's the start of our race, of our life with Jesus. And in that, we are called to run to the finish line, right? The end of our life on earth with this great cloud of witnesses, believers, past and present, cheering us on. So let's run the race. And as we run, as long as we're running anyway, let's do it right. Look back at verse 1. It says, we're surrounded by this great cloud, so what do? We lay aside every weight and the sin that clings closely. If we're going to run, let's run right. The call in the middle of the verse here is to shed any extra weight that might be slowing us down. Now, when I drive around the neighborhood right now, I see a lot of people intentionally putting on extra weight as they're walking around. Have you noticed that? The weighted vest phenomenon? Like, everybody's got them walking in our neighborhood. They put the vest on, and they walk their dog, they put the vest on, and I think that it's good for exercise. It probably gives you a little bit extra workout as you're walking through the neighborhood. That's fine, but the weighted vest, it doesn't translate to race day, does it? Right, you'd never put that on and try to run a race. Nobody's serious about winning. Nobody's serious about finishing is going to go into a race with extra weight. That's what we read about the Christian life here. We are called to throw off anything that would slow down a life of faith. And you might be wondering, what could slow down my faith? What could slow down my walk with Jesus? It's there in verse 1. Look at it. Sin could slow down your faith. Sin could slow you down on the race that God's called you to run. And if your goal is to walk with Jesus, if it's to go hard after Him, if it's to live by faith like we saw the believers doing in Hebrews chapter 11, we need to know and understand this morning that sin slows us down, and we are called here to get rid of it. We're called here to lay it aside. Sin hurts us. It does not help us. Sin slows us down. It takes our focus off the Lord. So this morning, right here, right now, I'm just going to do a time of prayer before the Lord, even while I'm talking. Ask God to search your heart, to reveal anything in your heart or in your life that is pulling your focus or your attention away from Him. Ask God to reveal any sin in your life. Like the psalmist in Psalm 139, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." This is a prayer. He's saying, God, search me, know my heart, know what's going on in here. God, try me, know my thoughts, know what's going on between my ears. God, see if there's any grievous or any sinful way in me, and then lead me away from that, right? Lead me away from that. Lead me in the way everlasting, right? We're going to leave that on the screens for a minute. I don't want to rush past this. Just have a private moment of prayer before the Lord this morning. Ask God that. Say, God, search my heart. God, check out my mind. And ask Him to reveal any sin, any known sin that's in your life. And as He does, repent of it. Ask forgiveness and turn and chase after the Lord instead. Right, nobody can do this for you. I'm just going to be quiet for a minute. I want you to just have this prayer moment before the Lord. Ask Him to search your heart. Ask Him to know your thoughts. Ask Him to help you see or understand if there's anything in your life right now that is hindering your relationship with Him. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd reveal anything in our lives that's slowing us down. God, help us to throw it off and run hard after You. Amen. Listen, one day in heaven, we're going to be free of sin. We're going to be free of temptation. But until then, while we live on this earth, It's going to be there, and we're going to make mistakes. And the key here, it's right there in the verse. We lay it aside, and then we turn from it and go after Jesus. Look back at verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1 again. It tells us that sin does something. It says sin clings closely. Sin is sticky. You ever thought about it like that? Man, when sin gets on there, it just sticks. It does not want to let go. When we develop sinful patterns in our lives, they're hard to break. Here's an illustration that probably a lot of us can understand. Think about your words, your language for a minute. If you were to develop a pattern of speaking in a way that is not honoring to God, in a way that the Bible would call sinful, maybe it's profanity, maybe it's gossip or slander, maybe it's crude humor, maybe it's putting someone else down. If you develop that habit in your speech patterns, it is really hard to break because sin is sticky. It clings close. It slows down your walk with Jesus. So if the Lord revealed something to your heart this morning, maybe it is your language, maybe it's something else. Maybe as you took that moment of prayer before the Lord and said, God, search my heart and search my mind, maybe God just told you something you already know. Maybe he said your online habits are not honoring to him and they're slowing you down. Maybe God said you're in the midst of a relationship right now that's ungodly, that is not honoring to him. It's a relationship that is causing you to turn away from Jesus rather than building up your faith and pushing you towards Jesus. Maybe in the quietness of that prayer moment just a minute ago, God said, you know what? Hey, you're prideful. You've been living in a way where you're essentially telling the Lord, hey, I got this on my own. I don't need you. I don't need to look to you. I don't need to pray for you. And you've just been doing things on your own way. And God says, hey, that's pride. I don't know what it is, but I do know this. I do know that we're all tempted, and I do know that we all struggle in one way or another. I do know that the devil is active in this world, and his goal is to keep people in their sin in a way that slows them down, in a way that pulls them off this course. That's why the language here is so strong. Lay it aside. Throw it off. Throw off anything in your life this morning that is making you more worldly minded so that you can run the race with endurance like God has called us to. Endurance is the opposite of coasting, right? Endurance is going hard. It's stamina. It's determination. It's tenacity that keeps us moving forward. I read a quote this week and it really resonated with me. It said, the danger of every aging church and every aging believer is that we might begin to coast instead of run. That we might begin to fiddle around instead of fight. For every person in this room, there is a better way to get to the finish line than coasting, right? And that's running hard. Think about the letters that we have to the New Testament believers, right? The letters that Paul wrote. He talks about running in a way to win the prize. He talks about fighting the good fight. He talks about finishing the race, right? He gives a strong language of endurance, of fight, of finishing strong. There's no call to coast anywhere in the Bible for me and you as Christians. Hebrews 12 is calling us here to endure, to keep running, but it's not just in chapter 12. If you zoom out at Hebrews just a little bit and look at the letter, you can see that some of the first century believers that got this had begun to coast and their walk with Christ. Chapter 5, the author says to the original readers, hey, listen, you guys have been in the race long enough. You should know enough. You should be disciplined enough. You should be teaching other people how to run this race now. But you're not. And you know why? Because you still need someone to teach you the basics. They were coasting. They weren't running. We see the same thing in chapter 10. In chapter 10, we read that at the beginning of the race, there were many that were running with endurance, but now they've gotten soft. In chapter 6, if you were to flip over there, you'd see how a lot of people started the race, and when that gun went off, they were running hard out of the gate. But in chapter 6, we've seen that some started coasting, and then some have stepped off of the track altogether, right? That they just walked off the course. So by the time we get to Hebrews chapter 12, that this is not new information for us, right? This is a wake-up call for us as believers. He's saying, let's run with passion. Let's run with energy. Let's run with discipline, the race of life that God has laid before us. Let's shed anything off of us that is slowing us down and live our lives with faith in Christ and in Christ alone. That's my prayer for every person in this room individually, And that's my prayer for us as a church family. Listen, God's done amazing work in our church family. It has been so incredible to see these past couple of years. But that doesn't mean we high five and say, all right, we're good, and we start to coast. Not at all, right? We want to run hard and what God has next for us until Jesus calls us home. I hope that you're ready to run, right? Because that's what God has called us to do. And while I'm not qualified to teach you how to run cross country, I did study these verses this week. And I can tell you how God has called us to run the race of life. Here's our application this morning. If you're going to run this race, first, you've got to look back. Look back at our witnesses. Look at verse 1. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Well, who are they? Who's in the cloud of witnesses? Let's chapter 11. It's Abel and Enoch and Noah and Moses. It's the list that we've studied the past couple of months. And there's a play on words here with witnesses, right? It has a double meaning in the text. First, these Old Testament believers, they were witnesses to the faith by how they lived their lives, right? They lived in a way that pointed other people to the Lord, right? And we should live that way too. The second, you know, word for witness here, just know that it's a phrase in the middle of a race analogy, right? It's in the middle of an analogy where there would have been spectators surrounding athletes. And here we read that we today, right, we're the athletes now, and we're surrounded by these witnesses. And the implication here is that they may be watching, witnessing believers of the day, cheering us on, right? Like they're watching us run the race that they themselves once ran. We've got this imagery of a great crowd cheering us on. And just knowing that the crowd is there should make us run that much harder. Think about the Olympics, right? You got these runners, these world-class athletes, they know what they're doing, but they've got tens of thousands of people watching. Millions of people online are tuning in to see them run. And when they peek into the stands, the adrenaline, the excitement they get knowing that people are cheering them on makes them run that much harder. Think about a football game, right? Players on the field. Think about that Aggie game yesterday, by the way. Never any doubt, right? Never any doubt. Think about Marcel Reed, our quarterback, leading the Aggies to the end zone. Tens of thousands, 100,000 Aggies there cheering him on. You don't think that the adrenaline and excitement of people in the stands cheering you on, chanting your name, makes you play harder? That's the imagery we have here. This great crowd cheering us on. It's the same with our lives. When we take a peek back or a peek into the stands, just think about that imagery we have. Think about Abraham. Think about Abraham. He ran the race that we're running now by faith. Not someone like him. And cheering us on to the finish line. Think about Moses. Moses. Think about him watching our race. What does that do for you? What does that do inside of you? And think about Paul. Cheering you on, right? Chanting your name as you get closer and closer to the finish line. Bring it more modern. Think about Jim Elliott, the missionary. Think about Billy Graham. He ran the race that we're running. Think about your faith family tree, right? Your grandparents, your parents, those that have gone before you in the faith. Think about them encouraging you, cheering you on as you get closer and closer to the finish line. That should inspire you to keep running. That should encourage you when times are hard to not step off the track, to don't quit, but to keep pushing forward, knowing that there's people that are in your corner. But it's not just the cheers that help us run. Think about it this way too. As we take a look back at the witnesses, think about the witnesses of Hebrews chapter 11. What do we see? We see men and women that made it. They made it to the finish line by faith. And we're able to see they did it, right? This is possible. They did it. We can do it too. All through Hebrews 11, that's the common theme. They finished the race. Have you ever looked at someone and thought, okay, they did it. I can do that too. Right, they were able to pull that off. If they can do it, I can do it. Sure you have. Think about it from a spiritual perspective too. I mean, you're out to dinner with friends, and the waiter or waitress sets the food down and says, is there anything else I can get you? And somebody pipes up and says, we're about to pray over our meal. Is there anything that we could pray for you about as we pray here at the table? And you see somebody do that, and you think, man, what a great way to have a gospel conversation with someone in the community. I can do that. Or maybe you heard about someone in your life group class. They shared the gospel with a coworker or a neighbor. They invited someone to join them at church, and you heard their story about doing that, and you thought, man, that is so simple. If they can do it, I can absolutely do that. Maybe Mission Sunday. We talked about all of the mission trips that we have going on this next year. There's going to be some incredible opportunities to partner with church plants from Champion Forest around the world. It's going to be an incredible thing. Maybe you'll hear about someone in your life group class signing their whole family up to go on one of these trips, and you think, if their family can do that, man, I can do that too. You see where I'm going with this? We see people, as we look at these witnesses, people just like us, running the race by faith, and it inspires, encourages us to do the same. All of these men and women of Hebrews chapter 11, they're men and women just like you and I. They weren't perfect, right? They had their struggles. Think about Moses. Moses had some weaknesses and he had some issues. He was scared in front of a crowd. He had a stutter, but God wanted to throw him up on the biggest stage in the world. He had moments where he lost his temper in an ungodly way. He had moments where he was disobedient to what the Lord called him to do. And you know what? He finished the race by faith. He was able to do it. Think about David. We think of him as the great king. We think of him as the one that killed Goliath, fighting on behalf of the children of God, the people of Israel. David made mistakes. David committed adultery. David committed murder. David's the one that said, God, search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there's any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Listen, he cast that sin aside and he finished the race. Gideon, we studied him. Doubt and fear. Listen, there's so many examples. We can look back and we can be encouraged that the faith, that the work of the Lord in and through them, the power of God in them to pull them to the finish line is the same power that is at work in me and you today. So look back and be encouraged and know that no matter who you are, no matter what your past is like, no matter what you have done, no matter how many times you've tripped and fallen on the course or even stepped off the course altogether, know that you can run this race of faith too. That's why chapter 11 is there in our Bibles. Right, so we can see the power and the grace of God at work in the lives of people like me and you, so we could see their example and so we could keep running. But don't keep looking back, right? You'd never run like that in a race, right? Take a peek, be encouraged, and then get your eyes up. Look at verse 2. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So how do we run? Second, we look up to Jesus. Right, it's great looking back for witnesses and examples. That's why their stories are there. But we don't worship them, do we? No. Right, our faith is in Jesus. The church exists because of Jesus. We know that Jesus stepped out of heaven. He came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, taking the place of me and you for our sin. He rose again. And we read right here that he's seated now at the right hand of the throne of God. The witnesses encourage us and inspire us, but it's our faith in Jesus and in his power that keeps us in the race. We cannot run without him. Make sure that as you live your life, your eyes are up. Your eyes are on Jesus. And when your eyes are on Jesus, you're going to see what this verse tells us. First, we see that Jesus is the founder of our faith. It's through his work on the cross that we're made right with God. Jesus endured the cross. He endured the suffering. He endured the shame. And by faith in Christ alone, we become children of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus, knowing that he's the founder of any faith you have. And as you look to Jesus, you're going to see that he is what the Bible calls here the perfecter of our faith as well, meaning the finisher of our faith. Our faith starts with him, and our faith is completed by him. His work on the cross perfectly accomplishes everything that's needed for our forgiveness. Everything that is needed for you and I to become children of God. He finished the work. And as we look to him, he enables us to finish our race faithfully. The founder, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. I went back and looked at my notes from our sermons these past several months in Hebrews chapter 11. And almost every single week I use this phrase, eyes up. Eyes up off of the situations of this world and eyes up on Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, as we run the race, where do we look? We look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, eyes up on Him. You might be thinking, I'm in. I'm going to do it. How? I'll tell you how. And it's not a secret, and it's not something that I haven't said before, right? If you want to keep your eyes on Jesus, spend time reading His words. Spend time reading the Bible. There's no substitute in your spiritual growth for time in the Word of God. If you want to grow closer to the Lord, spend time reading the Bible. If you want to keep your eyes on Jesus, get serious about your prayer life. About your prayer life, okay? It's not an every now and then thing. The Bible says pray without ceasing, right? Be in that constant conversation with the Lord. If you want your eyes up on Jesus, spend time in worship, right? Don't show up when you feel like it. Man, gather together consistently with the body of believers. Let other people encourage you along in your faith. Get connected to a small group, one of our life groups here. But just make sure that you're connected to a group of believers that can hold you accountable. We all need that. I need people in my life when my eyes drift down that can look at me and call me out, that love me enough to encourage me and remind me, eyes up. Eyes up on the Lord. We all need that. Look back at Hebrews chapter 11. What do we see? Every single one of those people had others in their life that would remind them, eyes up on the Lord. And when our eyes are up on Jesus, we're going to be able to look forward to the finish line with faith. So how do we run? We look back at those witnesses. We look up to Jesus, and then we look forward to the finish line that God has laid out for us. Back to verse 1. We run with endurance the race that's set before us. Every race has a finish line, right? So look forward to the finish line. If you're running a race, you want to get to the end. Chapter 11 is full of a group of incredible men and women that they finished the race, that their names are on this list here. Now they are in the stands cheering others on. Finish the race and let your life be a witness of the faith and start cheering others on as well. Don't quit. Don't coast. Finish strong. Keep your eyes on the finish line. You read so many stories of people that enter a race and eventually quit because they can't see where they're going. There's an American swimmer that was famous in the 1950s. Her name was Florence Chadwick, and she became famous because she was the first woman to swim across the English Channel both ways, right? She went across it, and then she made it back. She was the first woman to do that. And so she set her sights on another goal for the record book. She wanted to be the first woman to swim from the Catalina Island to the coast of California, right? And so July 4th, 1952, she jumps in. She starts her swim. It's a 26-mile open water swim. Yeah, a marathon where you can't touch the ground, right? Can't imagine. Strong currents, cold water, a lot of sharks, and dense fog, right? It's still one of the most intense, dangerous open water swims that people attempt today. And so she jumps in, and she swims for 16 straight hours. 16 hours. I can't imagine. And then she flags down the boat that's trailing her. She says, I'm done. She quit. She climbed in the boat, and they said, you just swam 25 and a half miles. You're a half a mile away from the finish line. She said she wasn't tired. She said she had plenty of gas left in the tank. Here's her quote when they interviewed her after the race. She said, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen land, I know I would have made it. If she could have seen where she was going, she'd have gotten there. Eyes forward to the finish line. She tried again a few months later. She jumped in and she did it. She became the first woman to do it, and in doing so, she broke the men's record by over 2 hours. It was a foggy day. Nobody could see anywhere. So they asked her, how did you do it? It was foggy. You couldn't see the coast today either. And she said that she kept a mental image of the finish line in her mind as she swam. She knew where she was going. She focused on it. And she made it, right? So as followers of Jesus, in this race that He has called us into, we look forward to a finish line. right? We look forward to eternity. Our finish line is that moment where we stand before the Lord and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's our finish line. That's what we're looking forward to, the moment that we step into the presence of God in eternity. Focus on that by faith. Know where you're going by faith. And as you do, you're going to run this race of life with endurance. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you running the race, or have you started coasting? Nobody can answer that for you. And are you running hard after Jesus, or are you going through the motions? You know, my kid in that race, he finished at full speed. He went hard across the finish line. It brought energy and excitement to everyone that was around him. So if you're running your race like that right now, keep going, right? Look back, be encouraged, be inspired. Look up, eyes on Jesus, knowing that he's with you and that he's got you. And then look ahead, knowing that there is a finish line, right? You are running. To hear those words from Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. If you are running, then keep running. Give glory to God. Inspire others to do the same. But if you're honest before the Lord this morning, and you say, you know what, I'm coasting. Or maybe you'd say, you know what, I started the race, but I took a seat on the track. I'm not moving forward right now. If you'd say you're there this morning, let me just encourage you. Get back in the race. Get back in the race. Look at those witnesses of Hebrews chapter 11. They tripped, they fell, they stumbled. There were moments where they were coasting, right? But they threw it aside and they ran hard. They finished their race. If you're coasting this morning, throw off any sin. Throw off any sin that you've let get sticky in your life. It's hurting you. It's slowing you down. Right, it's keeping you from doing what God's called you to do. Get back in the race. Get around faithful believers that love you, that care about you, that will encourage you as you go. Spend time intentionally in the Word, reading the Bible. Be disciplined about your prayer life. Spend time praying and going before the Lord, letting him work on your heart. Spend time worshiping with other believers and remember where you're going. Remember where you're going. I've been to a lot of track meets and cross-country events the last couple of years. And I haven't at any of them seen somebody making their way around the track because another kid was dragging them or carrying them. You got to run your race. As badly as other people might want it for you, they cannot do it for you. You've got to run the race that God has laid out before you. We're all going to stand before the Lord one day, right? That's our finish line. By faith, resist the urge to coast. Run hard. Run hard with Jesus and give him the glory in all things. Let's run our race well. Would you pray with me this morning? As you bow your head, this is just a simple moment before the Lord. Say, God, help me to run. God, help me to run like you've called me to run. Maybe you'd say, I'm hardly running. Say, God, help me to keep running. God, keep me free of sin. God, keep me free of things that would slow me down. God, help me to keep running. Or maybe you'd say, you know what, I'm moving sort of slow right now. I'm not running. Maybe you'd say, sin's been sticky in my life. Maybe you'd say, I'm focused on things that are drawing my attention away from the Lord. If that's you, I want to encourage you, do what we read in these two verses. Throw those things aside. Throw them aside. And ask God to help you to run this race of faith that he's laid out before you. Ask him to encourage you with believers around you. Ask him to keep your eyes on Jesus, knowing that you've got a finish line. God, help us run. Just a minute, I'm going to pray. We're going to stand. We're going to worship and sing one last song. As we do, I'd encourage you, don't leave. Let this be a moment between you and the Lord, where God works on your heart like only he can, where you're encouraged to run. And as you stand, we're going to have some pastors and prayer partners down here at the front. Maybe you'd say, I want somebody to pray over me so I can run, so I can keep running. Maybe I want somebody to pray over me over sin in my life. Maybe you'd say, you know what, I need to get on the track. Man, if the track starts when I trust Christ, maybe you'd say this morning that you've never stepped into a relationship with God by placing your faith and trust in Christ, that's your first step. Take the first step of that race today. Come forward, just tell us. We're ready to trust Christ. We'd love to pray with you about that. Answer any questions you have. Or maybe there's something altogether else going on in your life and you just want prayer over it. We'd be honored to pray for you. Our prayer partners are going to be right here. And we'd love to pray as we start worship here in just one moment. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your love for us. God, we thank you that you've invited us in to this race. God, it's for you. It's about you. God, help us give glory to you and to you alone with how we run. God, if there's some in here this morning, God, if you're working on their hearts and you've just revealed to them that they've been coasting, God, I pray you'd encourage them this morning. You'd give them all they need to run in a way that brings glory and honor to you, Father. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, man, would you...
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.